Well, today is the day of Pentecost. It's the day that we remember the birth of the Christian church. What happened on that particular day of Pentecost changed the course of history. It was the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out to empower everybody. I don't know whether you have a sense of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Do you remember the day or a day when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, when you felt the power of the Holy Spirit at work within you? Just think about how exciting that might have been, how you had a great sense of following Jesus, of hearing his word in a new and powerful way. Well, some people do have that experience. And how you were maybe really on fire for God. Maybe it was like the vision that Ezekiel had, that it had actually happened in your life. And so you experienced this new life, and you felt the powerful working of the Holy Spirit within you. But now maybe you don't feel that power of God in the same way. Perhaps you're struggling with knowing God and knowing his power in your life. Or maybe you never really had that experience, an experience with the Holy Spirit. And you probably heard stories about how God worked in the past in a powerful way in the lives of other people. And you wonder, could that ever happen in my life? Could that be true today? And maybe you wonder if you could know the power of the Holy Spirit in your own life. Could following Jesus become interesting and exciting? Because I speak to people and sometimes they say to me, if I'm being honest, Howard, I find it all a bit confusing, a bit boring. But the answer is yes, you can know this power. So as we begin on this Pentecost Sunday, let's pray to God and ask him to guide us. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son Jesus into the world to be the light of the world and so that we might know the truth. And you sent your Holy Spirit to give us power to live life extraordinarily. So be with us now and guide us as we think upon your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the story of Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones, he was asked to take a look at the bones and did he think that they could come to life again? And Ezekiel says, well, Lord, only you know this. And then God causes his ruach. That's the Hebrew word in the Bible, ruach, which means wind. It means breath. It means the spirit of God causes that ruach to blow over the bones and they come to life. It's the most amazing picture, isn't it? And that life is what we're all looking for. The power to have a life worth living, to be transformed. And ruach is the word used in Genesis when we hear about God creating the earth and all of the life in it. But of course, because Adam and Eve turned away from God, we all lost the ability to keep God at the center of our lives. And the world, as a result, is a bit of a mess. So at just the right time, Jesus came to the planet Earth to bring us life, new life. And Jesus came to show us how to live, how to find meaning in our lives, how to know the truth. And the truth is something that we've lost sight of in the past 50 years or maybe longer. During his last 24 hours on Earth, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And the Bible tells us when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. And then he said to them, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and that's right that you do that because that's who I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And then at a meal, he took bread and wine, and he prayed to God that he might bless the bread and wine, that they might be a sign of a new promise between humankind and God. And that Jesus would be their food and drink. He would satisfy all their needs. Through Jesus, their sins would be forgiven, that they might become friends with God. That he, Jesus, is the vine and they are the branches. And that in order to have that extraordinary life, they have to stay connected between the vine and the branches. It all sounded pretty good, why Jesus had come and how he explained it to them. But then he said to them, that a terrible time was awaiting him, but that his death was not going to be the end, because the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things that you need to know and remind you of everything that I've taught you. And then he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. But their hearts were troubled. Within the next 24 hours, Jesus was arrested, tried in a kangaroo court, hung on a tree as a common criminal. He was dead, and he was buried. By the end of Good Friday, the followers of Jesus were in total shock. It was the end of their hope, the end of their courage, their belief, their trust in Jesus. Their whole world had been defeated, and so was their leader. The Messiah had been destroyed. Now, every Easter morning, Christians all over the world proclaim, "The Lord is risen." And we sing about it, we shout about it, we rejoice about this good news, we respond to the words, "The Lord is risen," by saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia." Well, that's not what Jesus found when he encountered those disciples on that first Easter morning after he had risen from the dead. They weren't shouting and being happy. And he encountered a group of disciples who were defeated and totally disillusioned. This was the ultimate PTSD. They were so stressed that they could hardly think. The belief that Jesus' mission was a possibility was now lying in ruins on the floor. Over the next 50 days, from the perspective that Jesus had died on the cross and he had defeated death and was now alive, he calmed their fears and he trained them up again to truly follow him and to carry out his mission. He taught them. He showed them showed himself to many people. And then just before he rose to heaven, Jesus could tell that some of the disciples were still doubting. So he said to them, "You're still not ready to begin the mission that you're called to. Go and wait in Jerusalem for the one that the Father promised. Go and wait for the Holy Spirit, because you need that power." Many people in Canada are like those disciples who saw Jesus die, but they've not really grasped that he is alive today. And that's because they need God's Spirit to empower them, to help them understand that. They've listened to the world around them, a secular world that doesn't allow the truth of God in any room in our thinking. And they've listened to that instead of God. Francis Collins studied biology, and later he earned a doctorate in quantum physics. He led the Human Genome Project, among other things. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He wasn't raised in a Christian home. He didn't have any idea about this Jesus rising from the dead. But his life was turned upside down 35 years ago when he read C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. As a scientist and follower of Jesus, he reflects that science and faith are not in opposition. In fact, his study of quantum physics has taught him that the opposite is true. He says this: there are 15 constants in quantum physics. One of them, for example, is the gravitational constant. And there are various other constants that describe the strong and the weak nuclear forces, things like that. They have precise mathematical values. Now, if any one of these constants was off by even one part in a million, or in some cases, one part in a million million, the universe wouldn't have come together. It wouldn't be what we see today. Matter wouldn't have coalesced. There would have been no galaxies, no stars, no planets, hey, no people. So he says, scientific discoveries point us toward belief in God, not away from it. But life isn't found in some theory. It's not a game where we answer questions and try to tantalize each other with the answers and responses we give. And so I'm not interested in those kind of arguments right now. I'm interested in us talking about the truth. So let's think about the truth. Let's take a deep breath. Do that right now. Take a deep breath. Breathe in and hold it and hold it and hold it. And after a while, you start to have a sense of panic that the longer you hold the breath, you know that you, if you don't get more breath, you're not going to live. That the air that you breathe is essential. the Ruach of God, the breath of God, is essential too. If you don't have the breath or the Spirit of God, you won't have the power of God to become all that you were called to be. What powered you? Is it your own breath? Is it your own idea, your own efforts? Or do you allow God to give you His Spirit each day? You have new life through Jesus and all that He's done for you. That's good. But you need the breath to stay fully alive, to allow the Spirit in. You need to seek the Holy Spirit so that you might be filled with the breath of God. And at Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. This was a gift that was promised years and years and years before Jesus' day. The promise that the Father would send His Holy Spirit. And through the prophet Joel, we hear these words. God is speaking through Joel, and He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will have visions. In those days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all those who serve me, men and women alike. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. That's from Joel chapter 2, if you want to look it up. And it's an important idea, this prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And God spoke this promise through the prophet Ezekiel, another promise about this Spirit. He said, I will sprinkle pure water on you. Then you will be clean, and I will make you completely pure and clean. I will take all of the statutes of your gods away from you, and I will give you new hearts. I will give you a new spirit that is faithful to me. I will remove your stubborn hearts from you. I will give you hearts that obey me. I will put my spirit in you. Ezekiel 36. Those stubborn hearts are changed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples more than once before He ascended into heaven. Jesus said to the disciples who had gathered in the upper room on Easter Sunday after offering the God's peace, He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came. So what was that like? It was like the sound of rushing wind that filled the entire house. It's very hard to describe the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It was like tongues of fire coming into the room. And all of those in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. And they were given the gift of being able to speak in other tongues, other languages. And there were people from all over the world who'd come to Jerusalem for Pentecost, and they heard this commotion of all these people speaking, and they wondered, what does this mean? Because they'd heard the disciples speaking of God's power in their own languages. What do you do when you hear God speaking to you? Some were cynical, and they said, well, those guys are just drunk from the night before. Don't listen to a thing they're saying. When Peter heard that, he remembered the words of the prophet Joel, and he said, no, they're not drunk. Hey, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet spoke of. This is the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. It's the gift that was promised by God a long time ago. And when God promises to do something, He does it. So He poured out His Holy Spirit. And it's a gift that's still being poured out today for you and for me. It's offered to you. It's offered to me. It's a gift that each of us desperately needs. Have you heard God speaking to you today? Because He wants you to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be great if you could receive the Holy Spirit? This is the valley of the dry bones. This is the offer to have the breath of God, the Spirit of God, to breathe new life within you and into me. What if you were filled with, empowered by, the Holy Spirit of God? 2,000 years ago, something amazing happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus' disciples were together in the upper room, and they received the Holy Spirit. And He's calling on you now. Come, have life. Have the real life that God is offering you. the power of the Holy Spirit. So could you pray about that with me, about God's breath, God's Holy Spirit, to give you new life? Charles Finney was a man of faith who desperately wanted to hear God's voice. He desperately wanted to know God, really know him. He wanted to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he prayed and he prayed and he didn't give up. He prayed and he challenged God. And then in May of 1885, he was sitting near the fire and the Holy Spirit filled him and he came alive, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You could pray for the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Or you might say, well, I think I'm still alive, but I seem to be not getting enough breath. You could pray with somebody today to have your journey enlivened. Ask God for the Holy Spirit. Ask him to enliven you for Jesus to come into your life more powerfully. You might say, well, I'm not sure. I think I need more. I want to encourage you to let me know that you feel that way. Being filled with the Holy Spirit just totally changed my life. It was the source of joy in my life, and it still fills me with hope. And for those of you who have had that feeling but not feeling it now, just ask God to fill you again. It gives me power to live my life, to really live. The Holy Spirit teaches me daily. The Holy Spirit helps to open God's word to me. It gives power in my prayers. And I hope and pray that you might find that today. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit. I pray for each one of us that we might be filled again and again with your Holy Spirit, that it might touch our hearts and minds, that we might truly know your presence in our lives because of it. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill our lives. Amen. Well, I hope you prayed that prayer with me. And I hope and pray that you will continue to feel the power of the Holy Spirit within your life. And if you like, send me a message and let me know. Thank you.